Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the third day of June 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, farm groups are lobbying Congress for updates to the climate change bill. The energy secretary has brought up a decades-old argument against blending more ethanol at the pump. He's concerned about seals and gaskets. And a Missouri study says the price of ethanol and corn would both go up by 4 cents if the blend rate were bumped from 10 to 15%. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then I'll tell you about the switch from corn to soybeans and issues farmers need to watch. And don't forget that just after we get done with that, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City as we close out this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon, a whole lot of red across the floor. Nearby December wheat at $6.69, a settlement price down 50 and a half cents today. March futures at 685 and a quarter, 49 and a quarter lower, and the May futures at 696 and a half in the wheat pit for next year, down 49 and a quarter. Nearby July contract 52 cents lower at 617 and a half. That's the harvest month for the soft red in Chicago. Harvest month July in Kansas City at 671 and three quarters, down 47 and one quarter. From the corn pit nearby July at 432 and a half, down 17 cents. September at 442 and a half, down 17 and a quarter. And December at 455, down 17 and three quarters. March contract at 465 and three quarters, 17 and a quarter lower. And the May corn at 473, down 17 and a quarter. Once again, that July contract at 432 and a half for the lead option, 17 cents lower in the corn pit. July soybean futures, 27 cents lower, $11.82 the settlement. August at 11.37, down 32 and a half. September at 10.79, 36 lower. And November soybean settled at $10.47, down 35 and a half cents. July bean meal futures for the day at 379.50, down $8. The August at 358.50, down $9.30. July bean oil at 39.25, down $1.25. And the August down $1.25 as well at 39.42. From the Mercantile Exchange, the nearby contract in the live cattle settled to 22 and a half cents higher at $79.50 for the June. August up 12 and a half at $80.77 and a half. August feeder cattle at 96.12 and a half, a buck and a nickel lower. September down 92 and a half cents at 96.40. And the June live hog futures at 57.30 settled down $2.45 on the afternoon. The outside markets were lower. Nearby July crude oil down $2.43 at 66.12. Ethanol at $1.75 down 3 cents. Natural gas at 376 and 6 tenths, 35 and 4 tenths lower. And the RBOB at $1.89 and 8 tenths, down 2 and 6 tenths. Heating oil, diesel fuel, $1.73 and 8 tenths, 5 and 9 tenths higher, or rather lower on the day. And propane futures were up 2 and 2 tenths of a cent at 85 and 2 tenths in the August contract. The Dow currently at 86.14. is down just about 127 points at this hour. Here's the weather forecast for the two-state region as it comes from our own staff meteorologist, Ed Keezer. He says in the north, should be partly cloudy today. In central sections, mostly cloudy. This is for tonight. In the south, cloudy with scattered showers. Lows will range from 42 in northern Illinois to 58 in the far south. And then tomorrow, Ed says in the north and central sections, mostly sunny. In the south, mostly cloudy. Some showers near the Ohio River during the morning hours. Then it'll become partly cloudy, or rather partly sunny. Highs will range tomorrow from 64 along the Chicago lakefront to 74 in the west central part of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us this afternoon, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was an ugly Wednesday in Chicago, and the best I could tell was that it was the non-commercials that were selling. Were they just taking profits today?
Well, things have rallied since our March Beef House Outlook meeting, you know, in the depths of the bleakest times of, you know, modern trading for a long time. Prices got pretty high-priced in wheat and in soybeans, and we did see a pretty healthy rally in corn. There is a feeling that there has been some soybeans exchanged or optional origin switch with China instead of U.S. origin, maybe switching them to Brazil, but that is on a very limited scale, and there might be some export sales cancellation. When we talk to our friends in North Dakota, it looks like those big tractors are going to plant a lot of soybeans, and the acreage drop that the government's been talking about is probably not going to materialize. We're going to find a lot of acres of beans planted in probably the June crop report, acreage report, and also we're going to find some acreage shift from less corn planted to more soybeans. The other factor is that we were blessed by having an extra 24 to 48 hours of planting here in central Illinois. As of Sunday night, 3.4 million acres of corn wasn't planted. Illinois had 2.2, Indiana 1.25. Probably half of that acreage evaporated, got planted. There's still a lot of corn yet to plant. But the big war cry here is that farmers should have booked a lot of old crop corn and a lot of old crop beans into the marketplace.
I think that probably most would agree with that. Last week, when we put together the newsletter for the weekend, I put a headline, and it was my headline, cautiously bullish. And I think all of the folks that I had interviewed last week were feeling friendly to bullish the marketplace, but not much above the levels we achieved earlier this week. Although, as they looked out in the corn market, at least, they were watching that 1.1 billion bushel carryout that USDA has out there and feeling as if that really would mean something over the long term. Would you be in that camp still?
Well, I think it means something, too, in the fact that a couple things here in the corn market. You know, there's two different worlds, old crop corn and new crop corn for next year. And the new crop corn is the bullish part of it, and the old crop carryover is the bearish part of the equation. We had corn awful cheap. The livestock industry is suffering. The ethanol crude oil deal has turned a big U-turn. And we're starting to see the realization that we're not going to get the corn planted, and there will be yield loss with the delayed plant. Bassey basically timed everything probably as good as anyone. In fact, he encouraged people to take profits, ag resources in corn, and basically bank some profits in beans. So he basically said the speculators, the big hedge funds, were going to go in and bank a lot of profits and take profits, and the two things about it is that the hedge funds either take big losses, roll positions forward, and I would imagine they're going to start learning a new trade when they get to a certain profit level, 25-30% return. That's big enough profit for anybody, and they go to the bank.
So is that what happened today?
I think a lot of that, yes. And we had a stronger dollar. We had a weaker gold and silver market. And there were enormous profits to be banked.
So whipsaw action, and they'll be back to the they'll be back in as buyers, do you think?
Particularly, I think, in some commodities like corn, old beans, maybe not so much. And you see a lot of those positions have been rolled out of old beans. They bought some new crop beans at some pretty high prices. With more acres, It's awful hard for me to get too friendly on new beans as of June the 3rd, 2009. And the other thing about the bean market that I think is interesting, the 2010 November contract was over $10 a bushel. That augurs well for a pretty strong farm economy, particularly in central Illinois, that can raise a lot of soybeans and awful good yields for 2 years in a row.
I think most would argue that the bean market has been overpriced to corn, and so that the idea, I guess, that you can't really see the bean market moving a lot higher doesn't surprise me. The corn market, you think, will come up?
New corn,
that's what I
mean. Think, new corn, I think, will have some strong legs under it. And I don't really sense with the livestock industry we need to see a $5 bill on new crop corn in the next 30 to 45 days. But if weather problems occur in August and we get the 2 million acre less production in corn, we get crude oil at $75, and I think we have a new chapter in the corn market.
Okay, so friendly the corn market and neutral the beans, is that where you'd be?
I guess I would be slightly bearish whenever new beans are above $10 on the cash board.
Right, okay. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. Thanks much, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Now, I know you've visited our website and you've listened to us on the radio, but when you can't get in contact with us, have you tried this? Have you dialed the phone number, 217-333-3434? That's 217-333-3434. It's our mobile analyst portal. We post an update of the marketplace, the numbers, and a bit of analysis there each and every day. In fact, twice a day at 10:15 and 3:15. Once again, that number is 217-333-3434. If you can't hear us on the radio, you can't get to willag.org. Dial up the phone number. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the afternoon ag news for the day.
In agricultural news, farm groups wrote Tuesday to House leaders to ask them to improve the climate change bill that, quote, maximizes the participation of farmers and ranchers while minimizing the economic burden in the climate change equation. Farm groups are pushing to create an agricultural offset program that is unlimited, recognizes early actor farmers and ranchers who have already implemented carbon capture practices, and ensure any program with ag offsets be under the thumb of USDA rather than the Environmental Protection Agency. A study released Tuesday by the Investor Responsibility Research Center projects that the market price for a ton of carbon could be $28.24 by 2012. A Mexican trade association representing more than 4,500 trucking companies is seeking $6 billion in damages from the U.S. government because of Washington's refusal to allow Mexican trucks to carry cargo over U.S. roads. The group Canacar filed a demand for arbitration under the North American Free Trade Agreement with the U.S. State Department in April, but did not publicize the move until Monday. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu says the U.S. fuel supply could benefit from an increase in the ethanol blend percentage, but only if such an increase would work with current automotive engines. In remarks to an energy summit in Washington, Chu says, quote, "We are looking at whether when you go up to 12% and 13% of ethanol and gasoline, whether the current fleet of automobiles would be fine in terms of the gaskets and seals and things of that nature." Chu also indicated he would like to see the cellulosic ethanol side improve to the point where it would give farmers an option for planting crops other than corn to produce ethanol. Meanwhile, the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri says that U.S. corn and fuel ethanol prices would rise by 4 cents each if gasoline contained a 15% blend of the renewable fuel instead of the current 10% blend. In testimony to a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee yesterday, CFTC Chairman Gary Gensler says that U.S. regulatory reform is necessary, and he called for regulation of over-the-counter derivatives. Gensler says that President Barack Obama wants action by the end of the year to, quote, strengthen market integrity, lower risks, and protect investors. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week, both of which you can hear on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, you know the lateness of this planting season, especially in the eastern Corn Belt, will cause some acreage switch to the soybean. I'll have a report on issues farmers need to watch when switching from corn to beans, and simply because the calendar is moving into the sixth month of the year. Agronomics and economics will have farmers throughout the eastern Corn Belt putting pencil to paper to see if it makes more sense to switch acres from corn to soybeans. University of Illinois Extension soybean agronomist Vince Davis says despite the late date on the calendar, there are a whole host of other issues to deal with before making the call to switch.
You know, as we get into June, it starts to make more sense to think about that switch, but there are lots of considerations for growers to think about before they make that switch, both economically and agronomically. Economically, if they've already put down nitrogen in that field in preparation for corn, that's going to be very difficult because that nitrogen is not going to give any advantage to the soybean crop. If they've put down pre-emergence herbicide in preparation from corn, it could be legal ramifications to switch to soybeans. They may be locked into corn or a grain sorghum if it gets much later in the season.
Locked in legally because some of the corn herbicides, while they could be used on the bean, are not labeled for use on the soybean. Davis says there are other issues too.
For later planted soybeans, we may, as we get into June, soybean seed treatments will lose a little bit more value than they have in early May. Row spacing probably is much more better to be in narrow rows than wide rows as we get into June. And plant stands, most farmers are planting high enough soybean populations that I wouldn't say for the first part of June they need to think about increasing their population. But as we get into later June, we probably want to start shooting for a final soybean plant stand of 125 to 150,000 to increase yields and most importantly get the lower soybean pod height to increase so we don't lose yield at the end of the season due to cutter bar height on the combine.
One point of clarification here as it pertains to row spacing and planting soybeans. The later in the season it gets, the closer the row spacing needs to become. 15-inch rows or drilled soybeans planted late in the season historically outperform 30-inch rows by 2 to 3 bushels to the acre. At $10 a bushel, that's $20 to $30 an acre. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com. Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, joins us today. Good look to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, a rainy, dreary day around the Midwest to begin with. It's cold, and boy, was it blustery in Chicago. Futures just dropped like a rock. It appears that that was all on profit-taking. Did you hear anything else?
Yeah, the dollar was up a little bit, too. And then, you know, profit-taking in the oil market with it being down $3, maybe a little farther after it closed, definitely did help our agricultural commodities out any here today.
Well, did producers get scared enough to call you?
You know, really, it's been funny here. For the most part, we're done planting corn. Beans are probably 70-75% done planted in our area. Maybe some guys even say closer to 80. But for the most part, guys just haven't really got out of their planting mode, is what I'd call it, and really look at marketing their grain here this summer. They still have planting on their mind or spring spraying that they haven't got done yet. So really, we haven't even got much interest even Monday and Tuesday when we had some two good up days here. Guys just aren't willing to price anything yet. I think they're a little bit bulled up because they're looking in their backyard and seeing that, you know, the crops behind went into the ground in less than ideal conditions, and just aren't interested yet.
Are you with them on being bulled up?
I am. For after today's reaction, I think we're going to have recovery. But no, I really am friendly corn here. It doesn't seem like the dollar is going to improve much here near term. It seems like the administration we have in power right now is really promoting a weak dollar, or the policies that they have are promoting a weak dollar, I should say. So it doesn't seem like, you know, it seems like these commodities are going to have a little bit of a bull run here, and I think today is just some profit-taking, kind of a down day, can't go up every day type of thing.
It's kind of a scary profit-taking day. At least we haven't seen that kind of move for a few months anyway. And but I suppose farmers are satisfied. Do they have much corn in storage, do you think, still, too?
Yeah, I think in our area we do. I think a lot of guys moved beans here in early winter when the markets weren't quite as strong as they are now for cash flow needs. Some corn did flow here while they were in the field, but it seems like everybody probably still has, you know, maybe a quarter to 20% of their bins still full of corn. So I think we are going to see a decent flow here in June and July.
You'll see that flow, and that'll probably push the market lower. Would you think that that would drop it dramatically, or will we just sort of float down and then start through the harvest season and see how things come out?
I think that we're going to kind of float. What I guess I'm kind of thinking that we're going to kind of float down and kind of see basis here has been stronger. You know, the chicken business, our profitable levels, so we're seeing chain shippers that are on the NS being able to sell some pretty good values. CSX values are still at a discount because of the problems in the hog business, but it seems like right now basis is a little stronger, so I think flat price corn going into harvest is going to be decently strong.
And what are your bids for the day?
Here at Climbers, we're at 437, and Delphi beans are at 1207.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Thanks, Dutton.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Provena Health will be dissolving its physician practice in Danville over the next several months. Spokeswoman Gretchen Westner says the goal is moving the focus back to acute hospital care, United Samaritan's Medical Center. But she says Provena will take its time to transition the three physicians affected into other physician groups or help them become independent. Westner says the move had nothing to do with the quality of care, and she didn't know the number of patients impacted. Two other Provena physicians also have offices in Urbana, while another had already made plans to move to Texas. A 20-year-old Chicago woman has died from complications of H1N1 or swine flu, bringing the number of Illinois deaths related to the virus to 4. Department of Public Health spokeswoman Melanie Arnold says all 4 victims have had other medical problems. The department has reported 1,268 confirmed cases of swine flu in the state. Most of them have been in Chicago and suburban Cook County. Chicago's Department of Public Health says the most recent victim was admitted to the hospital May 23rd with flu-like symptoms. Cook County's public defender says Illinois' failure to provide enough money for capital cases hurts defendants' rights to a fair trial. Abishai Cunningham made that argument today in about 60 motions filed with judges who are hearing death penalty cases. The motions ask that the death penalty be taken off the table or that a private lawyer be appointed. Cunningham says the county has depleted its share of a state fund that pays for costs in death penalty cases. A paramedic and youth soccer coach from Grundy County has been arrested on federal charges of receiving child pornography on his computer. Authorities say 44-year-old Timothy Schultes of Cole City was charged after agents searched his home and computer and found child pornography. And Champaign City leaders say a new online survey on local development for the foreseeable future is seeing more success online than through face-to-face contact. City planner Lacey Rain says the Places survey has seen more than 200 replies. Residents can give their own response at champaigntomorrow.com. The comprehensive plan is a document that guides city development over the next 20 years. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, when I headed in this morning, had to bring an umbrella to campus with me. Will I need it for very long?
Oh, I'm kind of surprised you don't just have that umbrella tied to you by now. You will need the umbrella at some point in the next few days, but I don't think you will today necessarily. The showers and thunderstorms will move fairly quickly to the south of the region. They're actually develop on top of the immediate radio area and then shift to the south. So I guess anybody that's listening to you that's north of the broadcast center will probably not have to worry about it, but those areas to the south will definitely see showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. So that's a typical meteorologist answering the question, right? It's never a straight answer. Anyway, it does look like rain and thunderstorms will continue to advance across the lower parts of the Midwest today, and then we take a little bit of a break and enjoy it while you can, because we do have a rather frequent succession of disturbances coming across the Midwest once again, and some colder than usual air to come with it, and the end result will be another rainy period. We think that the temperature outlook is probably the thing that's probably most interesting in the forecast right now, because we are looking at some unusually cold temperatures coming down from the Arctic. It will settle through the Canadian prairie and eventually into the northern U.S. plains and parts of the upper Midwest, all of that which should occur over the weekend into early next week. And when that cold air comes down, it will push the jet stream to the south, and that's why we end up with a fairly frequent rainfall pattern across the Midwest once again. So our field work that has not yet been completed by the time we get into this work week will probably have to be on hold again for a while.
And then if you take a look at the rest of the world, especially China, what do you see?
Well, in China, we have some shifting weather patterns occurring there. It has been too dry in the northeast corner of that country where the key corn and soybean production areas were located or are located. But that region is cooling off in a rather significant manner right now as well, and there is showers in the forecast on a regular basis as we go through this next 5 to 7 days. The thing that's changing in China is that the dry biased area is shifting back to the west. So parts of what we call the North China Plain will see a ongoing dry bias for another week to 10 days. That region is already drying out somewhat. We are concerned that it's going to become too dry at some point in the future, and crop stress will be on the rise. So we'll be watching a part of northern China for a little while, not only to get relief in the far northeast, but also to eventually stop this drying trend that's getting underway now in some of the north central areas.
And that wraps up corn and soybean areas, at least growing in the northern hemisphere at the moment for the most part. Maybe come back to the United States very quickly. Tell me about harvest season in the Great Plains states.
Yeah, we are looking at a fairly good environment for the harvest down in the southern plains, Texas and Oklahoma in particular. There will be some shower activity in the near term, and there will be some more that occur in the second week of the two-week outlook. But in between should be a pretty favorable period of warm and dry weather, which will just promote the crop maturation and harvest process. A little further to the north in hard red wheat country in Kansas, Nebraska, and Colorado, we will see frequent rain and thunderstorms. So a little wet weather disease and a little quality concern could evolve as we move forward in time.
Drew, thanks so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, and that does wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.